Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Catastrophe, but it's all in fun. You pay the money, wait and see. The movie is the ready way to stop it. Starring everybody,
and me. Hey, patrons!
Oh,
hey,
welcome up, my fellow patrons.
It is time to play the music. It's time to light the lights.
It's Muppet time. You know
it's
what time
it is.
It's
time to meet the Muppets with the Muppet Show tonight. All right, so Patreon with cheese for just a little bit. We're not gonna focus on this too long, but this is a nice little reprieve, holiday reprieve, where we're gonna focus a little bit on the Muppets because I feel like we don't talk about them anymore on the podcast, nor should we. But yeah, I think
but
this
we
is
should.
A good place.
We should be talking about them because they're an important piece of musical culture.
Yeah, they are. And they help musical theater hit the mainstream. Like, they always put musical theater people on their show. In fact, there's a lot of musical theater people in the movie we're talking about today, which I think is the best Muppet movie.
It's pretty good. This was my first time watching it, but I was impressed.
Okay, so we're talking about The Great Muppet Caper, which is the sophomore Muppet movie. The first time Jim Henson is actually allowed to direct, for one. And it shows, like, a lot of that first Muppet movie feels like they were kind of falling to studio pressure, and this feels like just, like, off-the-rails Muppet guys doing what they want.
Yeah, this is like an actual Muppet Show movie. Mm-hmm. Whereas the first one is like the Muppets in a movie. This
right.
is like the Muppet movie.
I'm so glad there's not as many cameos in this one, because I do find the cameos funny, but they do tend to distract from like the Muppets.
I don't think it's that there's not enough, there's not as many cameos, it's that they don't drag on as much.
I mean, the thing is, I think the cameos here make more of a mark because they are longer. Whereas the ones in, like, the Muppet movie or, like, the Muppets Most Wanted or the Muppets 2011, there's just 1,000 of them, and they last, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. The one that stands out to me in the first movie is Steve Martin, which just that one feels long, even though it's not even that long.
I mean, the Mel Brooks one feels long, but then you also have, like, just random comedians. The Richard Pryor scene feels, like, shoehorned in, and it's, like, there for 5 seconds.
This one, I feel like they knew what to do with their cameos, and it felt better because of that.
Also, like, technologically, like, what they do with the Muppets in here are super impressive. The bicycle scene, the Miss Piggy swim scene, like, just as what they do with these puppet creatures to make them feel alive and moving is incredible. It feels like they were like, all right, what would be the most challenging thing we could get the Muppets to do?
Well, I mean, they ended on like, a really high note with them all in the air. It's pretty
yes.
impressive.
Well, they start with them in the balloon, which is also them reading the credits. Like, who reads this stuff? I'm sure they have families. Great joke.
I like that they literally just fall into the movie. They're just like, all right, how do we start the movie? And then they're just like, pull that lever, and they just fall out of the sky, and the movie starts.
That opening scene where they're just introducing themselves, like, they're themselves, but they're like a different version of themselves, which I find interesting. Like,
well, this is
it's
like,
kind of like the Christmas Carol versions of themselves in a way.
This is such a incredibly self-referential, and the Muppets usually are, but this one, I think this might be the most self-referential movie that they've done. Like, they literally just stop several times to just be like, yeah, we're in a movie. There's the scene with Kermit and Miss Piggy where they go out of character to, like, yell at each other.
That's great, though. I think it's hilarious. Or, like, when the bum comes up and he's like, oh, I've been there. I know what you're going through. And he just describes this whole very long, pointless story about, like, selling a laundromat. And
he's
Kermit's like,
it's amazing how wrong you are.
Not a single thing was correct. We're trying to make a movie here.
The bum character is literally in the movie, but it's like implied that he wasn't supposed to be. It's just
yes.
bizarre.
It's the, I think that's my favorite gag. My favorite running gag is the twin gag.
Well, yeah, where they're identical twins and people cannot tell them apart.
Yeah, Fozzie and Kermit are identical
Fozzie
twins.
And Kermit are identical twins. Like the newspaper guy is like, yeah, you guys don't look like identical twins. It's just he's like, oh, that's just because he's not wearing his hat.
Exactly.
Dude, that gag is amazing. I like that one. I think that was my favorite overall. is the identical twin gag. And I wish they would reference that at some point in another movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you're supposed to be... Remember when we were identical twins?
Okay.
That's a great gag. I don't think there's a single gag that fails for me. Like, there's a couple of them that takes a while for me to, like, really get into, like the John Cleese gag where they're breaking into his house. Like, that goes on long, but by the time you get, like, it starts to be funny again.
Yeah, I like the first time Miss Piggy breaks into the guy's house, and it, and they're, like, they know it's happening, and they don't care.
She's like, I haven't left the house in 12 years, I might as well go. He's like, no.
You mean the pig climbing up the side of our house?
Then there's just, like, weird, like, surreal throwaway things, like, our dog is dead. You said the butler was dead? No, the butler is fired. The dog is dead. Oh. It's fucking great.
Honestly, this movie, I think some of the newer Muppet movies, they kind of do too much with the plot and too much with, like,
right,
character relationships and things. Whereas this one just does not care. It's phenomenal.
And it's great that it doesn't care. Like, there will be, because when in a Muppet movie where you're really focused on the plot and the narrative, when they stop for a, like, interpretive dance swim thing with Piggy, it really feels rough. But here it's just like, fuck it, I'm in, let's go.
It's just like, it doesn't matter, because, like, is this even part of the movie? It's not even, like, we don't even know.
And then the guy's lip syncing and she's like, you can't even sing.
Oh my goodness.
It's like really meta. And I hate that term because it's been thrown, like, down the stairs by this point in the 21st century, but it really is like a film that knows it's a film.
Breaking the fourth wall is such an easy gag now, and so many people have done it. Like,
but not as well as this is the thing. Like,
yeah, I think that's the thing, is people think of breaking the fourth wall now as, like, a lazy gag that, like, you know, you could just easily do by, oh, it's like, we're in a movie, haha. It's like, that's funny, I guess, the first time I saw it, like, 20 years ago. But the Muppets, the way they do it is, like, clever. I don't know.
Okay, what is the plot of The Great Muppet Caper, Andrew? I want you to try to describe it for me.
All right, well, there's two plots. The first plot is that they're making a movie, and that's
But that's
running.
Not, like, within... That, it's not like the Muppet movie, where they are in a movie theater watching the Muppet movie. Yeah. Like, they just fall into the movie.
Yeah, but they're making a movie, and they do reference that quite often, so that's one of the plots. But the real plot, the plot of the movie, is... There is, like, a jewel thief on the loose or something, and Kermit, Fozzie, and Gonzo are going to try to stop the jewel thief because they get fired from their jobs as journalists.
Because they were too busy taking pictures of chickens.
Chickens and themselves and running news stories about how they're identical twins.
Identical twins become like newspaper people. It's great.
And then they get tied up with Miss Piggy, who is trying to be a fashion model in England, London, because they mistake Miss Piggy for the person who's getting their jewels stolen.
Lady Holiday, yes.
Lady Holiday. And I think it ends up being Lady Holiday's husband or something like that.
Brother. Brother's also in love with Miss Piggy.
Yes, yeah, that's what it was.
This is a complicated plot now that we're trying... It doesn't feel as complex as that when you're watching it.
Well, that's because they barely care about it.
Yeah, like, the plot doesn't matter.
Like, literally, the villain isn't even introduced until, like, the end of the movie.
I love the scene when Miss Holiday and Miss Piggy are, like, first meeting, and she's like, oh, and my brother, he's so terrible, and she's like, why are you telling me this? She's like, it's plot exposition, we gotta put it somewhere.
Yeah, well, really, though, they had to put it right there because there was no other time to even explain it.
Exactly.
Lady Holiday barely even shows up in the movie after that scene, and then her brother is, like, not even a character. He's just, like,
he's
the bad guy.
He's in love with Miss Piggy, and he's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's about it. And then there's all this other stuff that happens. Like, I love that Fozzie, Gonzo, and Kermit are, like, actually completely broke. And they, like,
they're staying at the Happiness Hotel, which is one of the best locations ever.
Which somehow they have, like, every Muppet ever staying there, and they have no money, and they own a bus somehow. It's just so bizarre. When they check in, the gag where it's like, you could pay by credit card, cash, or just leave.
Uh, There's so much about, like, there's little line gags, but then the puppetry in this movie, like, they're under in the water and they're talking, and I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? And it's obvious, like, if you're really, really watching, that they're robot puppets instead of, like, up the hand things. They're a little stiffer than usual. And when they're on the bike and they're singing, it's obvious that they're robots instead of, like, up the hand puppets. And
someday we'll be ruled by robot Muppets.
Oh, God, if Fozzie Bear is the one that finally ends my life, I think. I think I will have been fine with
my death.
Waka waka!
I'm honestly expecting that to be how I go. Like, Gonzo.
Which Muppet's gonna take you off?
I don't know. I feel like Gonzo is, like, death incarnate. That's why his his nose is like a hook. You know, all of life is a stage, and then he comes in and he pulls you off with his hook. Pulls you off the stage.
Oh, my God. He'll come in and, I hear you didn't like my song in the Muppet movie.
I didn't. I'm sorry, Gonzo.
I know you didn't. And then he kills you.
All right, how many songs are there in this movie? There's not that many.
There's not many, but they do stand out. Like, I mean, what's your favorite one?
Honestly, the you know,
the
we'll make
Hotel
a movie.
One?
No, we'll make a movie or whatever is really catchy.
Yeah, hey, a movie.
Hey, a movie. Da, 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 da. It's like classic Muppets.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that's the one where, like, the Muppets, again, from Muppets Most Wanted, that's the one that they're most trying to replicate.
Absolutely.
And I saw Muppets Most Wanted before I saw this one, and this one's just so much better. It does that same thing so much better.
Yeah, the We're Doing a Sequel song is fun, but
yeah,
this one is, like, it doesn't have references to other movies and stuff in it as much.
Yeah, it's confident in, like, the Muppets are enough.
Yeah, and the Muppets are enough. They're always enough.
They really are. But after that, you got the Happiness Hotel, which is anarchy and amazing puppetry, and it's just a fun, catchy song, too.
I love the new puppet, the new Muppet, the guy that runs the Happiness Hotel, or at least the guy at the desk. I think he's fun. I'm surprised he isn't like a recurring Muppet at this point.
I mean, we have another one to put into our Musicals with Cheese. How would you Muppetize this, at least?
That's true. If only we could get more women.
Yeah, there really is. We got chickens and we got Miss Piggy, and that's it.
You got, well, okay, you got Miss Piggy, you got Janice.
Janice is barely a character.
She's as much of a character as, like, Zoot and, like, Floyd, you know?
What about Scooter's sister from the Muppet Babies? Does she count?
No, the Muppet Babies aren't canon.
They aren't?
They're not Muppets, they're animated.
I guess you're right. Oh my God, you're right.
If they're not literally in the real world as Muppets, then they're not canon. Oh, Oscar the Grouch being in this was pretty sick.
Ah, that was good. Yeah, that's always a good, like, when they bring in, like, Sesame Street characters, I'm good. Like, they did the same thing in the first one when they see Big Bird on the street, though.
Yep, Big Bird was, like, going to New York, right?
Yeah, which is, I guess, where Sesame Street is.
I mean, they never tell us how to get there.
It looks like New York. I feel like it's New York.
It's got it. There's no other city it could possibly be. It's definitely New York.
San Francisco, maybe?
San Francisco doesn't look like that, I don't think. New York has, like, that older look.
I mean, yeah, but you got Bert and Ernie there.
Bert and Ernie are just roommates, dude. They sleep in different beds.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to sleep with someone else, even if I did love them.
Although I would say on TV, if you sleep in different beds, but they're literally next to each other and shown in the same frame, that's just like the 1950s way of saying these two have sex.
But Andrew, that's how you and I sleep every night.
Well, I mean, what were those other TV shows? Like, there's other TV shows.
I Love Lucy is the one that's popping in my head.
I Love Lucy. I think the Flintstones did it as well, where, like, Fred and Velma, no, is it Velma? What is her name?
Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Velma from Scooby-Doo, which honestly, that's a good idea. But Fred and Velma.
I want to see. No, nope, you're selling me on this other idea. Okay. So
Fred and Velma, his side chick.
Jinkies.
Yabba
dabba doo.
But they sleep in beds that are, like, right next to each other, and, like, they talk to each other, and that's how you know that they're a couple. Because I think it was too risque to show people the way that they sleep every night.
But I know for a fact in the Flintstones TV show, Barney and Fred shared beds at least once.
Well, yeah, but sharing a bed is something that you do because it's awkward and funny with another man.
God.
Whereas sleeping in separate beds is obviously a romantic gesture.
So you're saying that Bert and Ernie are gay?
Yeah,
and
I'm
in
saying
love.
I'm saying that they are essentially a TV gay couple.
I'm good with that.
I mean,
I wish they would officially announce it.
When did Sesame Street start? It was like in the 60s,
69,
right?
I think.
Yeah, I feel like that's they're almost directly referencing the shows that came out where they slept in different beds. Like, come on.
I agree. Did you see the Jim Henson cameos in this?
I didn't catch them. Where were they at?
It was in the diner where they were at, and he's just one of the people in the background.
I didn't catch it. Honestly, yeah. Jim Henson...
He has a very noticeable face. He has, like, the giant beard and everything.
Jim Henson's beard is, like, the only thing that makes him stand out to me, though.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a real nice hippie guy that died of very curable pneumonia.
Honestly, hearing about his death is, like, depressing because he's, like... It's like, you could have been fine, but he...
Right.
Didn't he have... Was it a religion or something like that where he was like, I can't go to the doctor for this?
That's apocryphal. Like, his parents were Christian Scientists, so they were like, oh, he must have been a Christian Scientist. But really, he was just like, I don't feel like I need to go to a doctor. I'm fine.
Yeah, except for no.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it wasn't because I don't believe in doctors. It was like...
Although you have to wonder if he was raised in that environment,
right.
Whether or not that had influence on the fact that he didn't feel like going to the hospital.
Yes, but he has gone to the hospital previous, and that wasn't like something a part of like what he believed in.
Yeah.
As an adult. That was just bad luck and an easy way to point at it, in my opinion.
Fair.
So in this movie, I think this has the best Miss Piggy-Kermit relationship out of all the movies.
I like the extended scene where they go out of character and talk about how Miss
Piggy
is hamming
it up.
I mean, Miss Piggy and Kermit's relationship never feels great, but this one...
No.
This one
feels the least cringe.
Yeah, it has the least amount of, like, Miss Piggy being completely overbearing.
Yeah. I feel like she's really well used in this, where she's kind of used sparingly, and when she's there, she works.
Miss Piggy is one of my least favorite Muppets. I think I've said this before.
It's because you hate women.
Yeah, that is 100% true. 100% true. I despise women, and that's why Miss Piggy, like, the Muppets would be perfect if there were just no women. No, but actually, like, Miss Piggy is very overbearing and kind of creepy in a lot of Muppets media, and I don't love it.
No, you shouldn't. I get it.
I think there should be a better female character, and by
what about
a better...
Denise?
Oh, you mean the new pig?
Yeah, you know, fuckable Miss Piggy, as I called her.
I mean,
when
I don't really know.
Ethan on.
I don't really know what she's like. Like, she might actually be a fine character. I really have no idea.
The problem is she isn't a character. She's Mary Sue Piggy. You know,
is that actually true? Like, she's just a writer stand-in?
Kind of. It's like the female, like, perfect girlfriend for Kermit that everyone loves and no one has a bad thing to say about. Except Miss Piggy, because...
Well, yeah, but Miss Piggy has a bad thing to say about everyone, so, I mean...
Yeah, she'll be the first to say anything bad about anyone.
Which is why Miss Piggy's just not... Ugh. I really don't think Kermit and Miss Piggy... I don't even sell them as a couple in my head. Like, when I think about it, it's always like Kermit doesn't really like Miss Piggy and, you know, it's always a show. I don't know.
Right. I'm like, it's a backstage relationship or an abusive relationship. I'd be interested to go into that side of it.
I could definitely see it being an abusive relationship. I mean, we've seen Miss Piggy get angry and start beating the shit out of people before.
Like, physically violent with people.
Like, on the drop of a hat. So I would not be shocked if she would do it to Kermit occasionally.
I mean, I like it. I'm sorry, I'm just a sub.
You know?
Pain turns me on.
You know, that's fine, but, like, there's a difference
don't
when
it's... Don't kink-shame Kermit.
It's different when it's consensual, Jess, okay? We know that. We're not dumb.
We're not dumb. You're right. I'm sorry. I did not mean to sully this Muppets conversation with my assumption of stupidity.
All right. Well, that's the Great Muppet Caper. I mean, I don't know if I have a ton more to say.
How would you rank it in the Muppet movies you've seen?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Let's see. Muppet movies I've seen. So we have... The Muppet Movie, which is... I'm going to say Muppet Movie is my favorite that I've seen prior to this one. Okay. And I probably would put it equal. I think this one's a little sillier. And I think a lot of the gags land better. But I'd have to watch it again to really know if it's better or not.
Right.
Because I've seen The Muppet Movie quite a few times. The Muppets 2011, is that right?
Yes.
This is definitely better than that. Muppets
easily.
2011 is fine, but... I don't like the focus on characters that are not the Muppets.
You don't like Alvin or what the fuck his name was? Ernest?
Melvin? What was his name?
What was his name? This
what were those other?
Me.
What were the other two characters?
Walter.
Names?
Walter.
Walter?
And then you got Amy Adams and Jason whatever.
Yeah.
Deagle.
Like, fuck them. And then there's The Muppets Most Wanted, which is better than that as well.
I think this has lowered my appreciation of Muppets Most Wanted because this is very similar in a lot of ways to Muppets Most Wanted, and this just does everything that that did except a million times better.
My main issue with both of the newer Muppet movies is they always shoehorn in like a new character to be one of the leads. And this movie doesn't do that. Neither does the original Muppet movie, which I think it's a lot better. Like, just let Kermit be the lead. Goddamn.
I mean, a lot of people feel like Kermit isn't sympathetic, I guess.
That's not the point of the Muppets, though. It's just about silly gags and references to random things and cameos. Like, just let Kermit be the lead.
I mean, that's basically what happens in The Muppets Take Manhattan, which is the first one that Frank Oz was allowed to direct and is also very good and very similar to this.
I think this movie is very, very good for a Muppet movie. So I'm going to say it's at least on the level as the Muppet movie, and it's better than the other two newer ones that I've seen. And I honestly haven't seen that many of the other Muppet movies, so those are the ones I can rank.
You haven't seen Muppet Treasure Island or Muppet Christmas Carol or...
I really haven't, no.
For a guy that loves the Muppets as much as you, you have not seen most of them.
I have seen episodes of the show, like quite a few of them.
Very important question. Is it better than the Muppets Wizard of Oz?
Oh yeah, Muppets Wizard of Oz. It's better than Muppets Wizard of Oz. I know, high bar.
Is it better than Muppets from Space?
I have seen that, but it's been so long that I can't remember it.
Not great. Like, it was supposed to be Muppets in Space, and then someone is like, actually, in the script, the Muppets never go to space, so they changed it to Muppets from Space.
They shouldn't have done that, because, like, honestly, Muppets in Space is a reference to stuff that they did on The Muppet Show. They're like, the pigs in space!
I don't know.
Just do the reference.
Why don't you just do, like, Pigs in Space, the movie? I would have watched that.
I don't know how that would work for a full movie, but...
Yeah, maybe not. All right, Andrew. Overall thoughts and your cheese rating.
All right. The Great Muppet Caper is very good, extremely cheesy, but very funny, and it still is funny now. It doesn't even rely on cheap, like, reference gags and things like that. Like, so it really stands up. It holds the test of time, I think.
Who dropped the test of time?
Hell yeah. As a cheese rating, I mean, it's a Muppet movie, so it's quite cheesy. I'm gonna give it, God, I don't know English cheeses.
Wensleydale!
I've already done that one. Honestly, I'm just gonna give it cheddar, because I think it's cheesy. And that's, when I think, like, pure, simple Muppet cheese, you just gotta go with the easy answers here. Maybe mozzarella? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to stick with Wensleydale because John Cleese says Wensleydale very funnily in other things, and he's in this movie, so...
That's true.
Wensleydale cheese.
It's not in other things, it's in that one thing.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time on Patreon with Cheese. We'll probably do one or two more Muppet things and then move on to something else. We're not going to, like, do the rest of the Muppet Cinematic Universe, don't worry.
At least not all in a row.
Not in a row, no. We just kind of wanted something to break up the monotony of Fosse Verdon. But we'll get on to something cool, and pretty soon we're going to have, like, a poll up for you guys to check out.
All right.
All right. Have a happy, mappy Christmas, and enjoy our holiday episodes, kids. Merry Crimbus.
Merry Christmas. It's always fun. You paint the money. Wait and see. The movie.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details. of Sunset Boulevard.